Hey, you know what? Let's give Dave and Carissa a nice round of applause for that really special music. That was really great, right? All right. If you are a guest with us this morning, thank you for being here. Hopefully you received a welcome packet. Did you? If so, there's a little card inside that welcome packet. If you just take a moment, fill that out, drop it in the offering plate, or just leave it on the information table out in the foyer. That would be such a big help to us. Did you also get a bulletin? Well, some of you did, okay, all right. If not, please make sure that you grab one on the way out because there's the important information in there for you. So let's open it up and let's take a look at what's going on. Right after our morning service this morning, we have Sunday school, and we have Sunday school from kids all the way through adults, and I hope that you'll choose to be able to stay. Monday night, we have ladies' Bible study here at the church. Tuesday night, we have men's Bible study here at the church. Wednesday, we have Joy Bible Study at 1:30 p.m. here at the church. And Thursday night, we have Awana. It's snowball night, so I'll be praying for snow between now and Thursday. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Okay, we have snowballs that don't make a mess, and so we'll be good. All right, and then Saturday, men's breakfast here at the church, and this is open for all of the men of our church. We'd love to have you be able to come and join us at 8 a.m. It'll be a great time, and I think I'm pretty confident that there will be bacon. Bacon. Right, William? Right, Brian? Bacon. All right, I got the thumbs up. We're good. Okay, all right. So there's some information about Ladies Coffee Connection, about Shiloh Bible Camp. We have a new women's ministry coordinator, Diane Crawford. Diane, kind of give a wave so that everybody kind of knows who you are and where you're at. Also, you'll see some information about Super Bowl. The Super Bowl is the same Sunday as our church family dinner, and we're going to combine the two. So there's details in there. If you have any questions, come and see me, and I'll confuse you even more than what maybe the information in the bulletin is all about. But anyway, you'll see some things in the bulletin that all of us need to be able to know. Well, we have a birthday today. Is it yours? Yeah. Okay. Come on up here. One thing about Jesse, you can't embarrass him. No matter how much I try. I've been trying for years. It doesn't ever work. All right, Dad, lead us in. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Jesse. Happy birthday to you.
All right, if you see him later on today, please make sure individually that you wish him a very happy birthday. I am so glad to be here this morning. How many of you are too? Well, about half of you. Hopefully by the end of the service, the rest of you will join those of us that are glad to be able to be here. You ready to worship?
Yes.
I am.
Yes.
Let's get after
it. Would you all stand with me this morning? I want to open with a word of prayer. We're going to sing a lot of songs that are heartfelt this morning. And this is a lot for me just as much as it is for you guys. When we sing these songs, I hope you know that we're not doing this as a show. We're doing this to honor God. And when we sing these songs, no offense, but I'm not going to be worrying about you. I'm going to be worrying about praising Jesus this morning. So I want you to do the same. Would you pray with me? Lord, thank you so much that we have the opportunity to come into this place and we have the opportunity to put the world aside for just a minute and focus on you. Lord, would you impact each one of us individually today? Lord, would you please join us in this place? Lord, would you sit next to those who need comfort? Lord, would you put your arm around those who need to meet with you? Would you stare in the eyes of those who need to see you face to face today, Lord? I pray that we would be impacted by you, Jesus. Lord, we love you, and we're so thankful for you. In your name we pray, amen.
Come, thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet sung by flaming tongues above. Praise a mountain fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love. Here I raise my Ebenezer, hither by thy help I'm come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood. Oh, to grace how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it, seal it for thy courts above. Here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it, seal it for thy courts above. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. And the Lord is good to all, and he has compassion on all that he has made. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far he has removed our transgressions from us. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far he has removed our transgressions from us. Praise, praise the Lord, oh my soul. Praise the Lord. We're here to praise Jesus today. Come on. Praise, praise the Lord, oh my soul. Praise the Lord. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far he has removed our transgressions from us. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far he has removed our transgressions from us. Praise, praise the Lord, oh my soul, praise the Lord. That's why we came this morning, Jesus. Praise, praise the Lord, oh my soul, praise the Lord.
Please be seated as we continue this morning. It's worth taking time out to calm down, to look Jesus face to face.
As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. I long to worship Thee. When I look into Your holiness, when I gaze into Your loveliness, when all things that surround become shadows in the light of You. And when I found the joy of reaching Your heart, when my will becomes enthralled in Your love, when all things that surround become shadows in the light of You. I worship You. I worship You. The reason I live is to worship You.
Today, because of You, we're here to worship You, not just in word, but in deed, Lord, with our whole lives. God, You have given us such a future and a hope. Lord, You've prepared our way ahead of us. Lord, help us not to get caught up in all these things in the world. Help us instead to focus on You and keep running hard after You. And to worship You.
I worship You. I worship You. The reason I live is to worship You.
Ushers are going to take this morning's offering as we sing one last song for you. And friends, if you're visiting with us, don't feel obligated to give because a plate passes in front of you. Give out of worship for a worthy, worthy God.
I see the Lord seated on the throne, exalted, and the train of His robe fills the temple with glory, and the whole earth is filled. With His glory.
Did you catch the name of that song? I see the Lord. I hope that's why you've come this morning, is to be able to see the Lord. That's why we're here today, is to be able to see the Lord. I want you to close your eyes for a moment. And while your eyes are closed, I want you to put away the distractions of your world, the distractions of your heart, the distractions of your life. And as I read some verses for you from Revelation chapter 1, I want you to see the Lord. John writes, I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me, and on turning, I saw the Lord in the midst of seven golden lampstands, one like a son of man, clothed with a long robe and with a golden sash around his waist. The hairs of his head were white like wool, like snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze refined in a furnace, and his voice was like the roar of many waters. In his hand, he held seven stars from his mouth, and from his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in full strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet. Father, as we've come to worship you this morning, Father, as hopefully as we've heard this description of you, we've seen the Lord. We've seen him in our mind's eye. We've seen him in our heart. And Father, now we fall at your feet. And so, Father, as our children are dismissed to be able to go to children's church, Father, may they see the Lord just like the rest of us. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, children, you can head on to children's church. And while they're being dismissed, turn with me, if you will, to Psalm 42. So if many of you, except for those of you that are our guests with us this morning, we've been in a series of messages called Praising Our Way Through the Psalms. And we've come to the last message in that series, because next week we're going to start a series in the book of Joshua. And as we've learned from Psalm 63, David experienced discouragement during a very trying time in his life. And maybe sometime this week, you experience some discouragement like David. You know, most of us go through some dry times and low seasons in life. Many years ago, a young Midwestern lawyer suffered such a deep depression that his friends kept all knives and razors out of his reach. He questions his life's calling and just wanted to give up. This is what he wrote in his journal. I am now the most miserable man living. Whether I shall ever be better, I cannot tell. To remain as I am is impossible. Do you know who wrote these words? A fellow named Abraham Lincoln. You might have heard of him. Charles Spurgeon, one of the preachers from the past, shocked his listeners when he said this in a sermon. I am the subject of depressions of spirit so fearful that I hope none of you ever get to such extremes of wretchedness as I go to. Now, the National Institute of Mental Health tells us that depression strikes about 17 million adults in the U.S. each year, more than cancer, AIDS, or heart disease. Half of all Americans say they or one of their family members have suffered at some time from depression. The Journal of the American Medical Association has stated more suffering has resulted from depression than from any other single disease affecting mankind. Now, I admit that I don't know much about clinical depression. I do know that depression is a very complex condition that has its roots in spiritual, emotional, mental, biological, or physiological causes, or some combination of any of those. So if you're struggling with discouragement and/or depression this morning, I hope that you will find professional medical assistance, because there's no shame in admitting that you could use some help. So I want us to look at Psalm 42 this morning to help us understand the discouragement and depression that can overtake us without much warning. But before we jump into this psalm, here are some background truths. Psalm 42 is what's called a maskil. It's like Psalm 32. It is a teaching psalm intended to help us learn how to handle life when the spiritual blues come our way. So we could, for all purposes today, we could name this psalm, How to Beat the Blues. Now the title identifies this psalm as a maskil of the sons of Korah. Now the sons of Korah were a family of singers. They loved to sing and lead others in worship. History tells us that the words of Psalm 42 were written by David, and then these sons of Korah came along and put these words to music. And in the context in which David wrote Psalm 42 was when he was forced to run into the wilderness because his son Absalom was leading a rebellion against him. That's kind of some of the background also of Psalm 63. David was removed from the throne. His life was threatened. His friends had bailed on him. He was ridiculed and mocked. He was miles away from the temple in Jerusalem where he loved to go and worship. David was burdened with problems. He was running away from what he was used to. He was alone and discouraged. And this was the place of his personal blues. David was where some of you might be today. And let's read what he writes in Psalm 42 as David longs for God while living in a time of trouble. So follow along as I read Psalm 42. As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. Thank you, Jared, for having us sing that song earlier today. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all the day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I would go with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of praise and a multitude keeping festival. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God. For I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. My soul is cast down within me. Therefore I remember you from the land of Jordan and of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep at the roar of your waterfalls. All your breakers and your waves have gone over me. By day the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night, his song is with me. A prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning? Because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a deadly wound in my bones, my adversaries taunt me, while they say to me all the day long, where is your God? Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God. For I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. Now I believe that in here in Psalm 42, David gives us a way for us to be able to beat the blues by following these four steps. And we're going to look at these four steps this morning. The first step is this: seek God. David begins by stating how much he longs for God. Look at verse 1. As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. You know, deer are fun to watch. There's something about them that makes us stop what we are doing just to look at them. Have you ever had that experience? I think all of us probably have at one time or another. Did you know that when a deer is thirsty, it will run at full speed until it finds some water? And when it finally finds it, it will stick its face into the cool stream, forgetting everything else around it, which is very unusual for deer because they are normally very alert and cautious. But when they're panting, they'll do almost anything to quench their thirst. And during drought conditions, deer will alter their daily routine to make sure somewhere they can find water. And whenever a deer senses danger, it will run to a water source. Now, most hunters think that the deer is trying to avoid leaving a scent. But the deer, however, is seeking water for different reason. When a deer is running from an enemy, it develops a tremendous thirst. Fear and the physical strain of running create a strong desire for water. And David here is comparing himself with a deer that is on the run in a desperate search for refreshment. And verse 2 tells us that just as a deer can't wait to quench its thirst, David's soul is thirsting, not for the things of life, not for the things of the world, but for the living God. Look at what he says in verse 2, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. David wants to know God. He's looking for him with everything he has. Now, I understand that living in this time of history that we do, it's difficult for us to get really thirsty because there are vending machines and water fountains everywhere. But thirst is powerful, and it must be satisfied or we will die. Have you ever been that thirsty spiritually? Maybe even as you sit here today, are you that thirsty today? Does your heart pant for God? We sang that, didn't we? And only a relationship with God, a relationship with his Son, and a relationship with his living and truthful word can quench the thirst of the human heart. Just as a deer knows instinctively where to find water when it's thirsty, so too we must look for him with everything we've got. In fact, Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 9 says, my soul yearns for you in the night. My spirit within me earnestly seeks you. In some respects, we're all thirsty for God. But not everyone comes to him to have that thirst quenched. Often, we look to other things to satisfy us. We turn to the things of this world to quench the thirst in our heart and lives. And we need to learn all that we can from God's word to satisfy the spiritual thirst we have. Now, we have Bible studies here at Lake Hazel Bible Church, and I went through some of those this morning in the announcement time that are they're listed in the bulletin for us for this week. And we do that so that we can satisfy the spiritual thirst that we have. They're here to help us quench our spiritual thirst. We have ladies' Bible study. We have men's Bible study. We have joy Bible study, which is geared for our senior citizens, but you don't have to be a senior citizen to come and join us. We have Sunday school. We have Awana for our children and teens. And if you're not participating in one of these times of Bible study, I want to encourage you to take the time and effort to join in so that your soul, your thirsty soul spiritually will be quenched. Here's the second step to beating the blues. We need to be honest. The first step in beating the blues is to seek God with every resource available. We at Lake Hazel Bible Church are dedicated to help giving you some of those resources. And the second step is to be honest when you can't. You know, as we learned in our study of Psalm 10, our spiritual life is not always smooth sailing. We have downtimes. There are seasons in life when we are hurting. There are times when we wonder why God seems so far away. A deer loves to find water and to quench its thirst. But sometimes it gets into trouble as well. Are you stumbling spiritually? David can relate. Look again at verse 3. He says, my tears have been my food day and night. David's appetite has lessened because of his troubles. You ever been there? His only source of nutrition is the salt from his own tears. Listen to what he says in verse 7. He says, deep calls to deep. At the roar of your waterfalls, all your breakers and your waves have gone over me. He's talking about a lot of water, but yet he's not finding satisfaction and quenching in any of that water. As one wave of trouble seems to sweep over the other waves, so too the waves of worry and the breakers of troubling things are sweeping over him. And an important part of the process of winning against discouragement and depression is this: to be honest when you're hurting. And you can be real before God, because he already knows. He already knows you're hurting. He already knows you're discouraged. He already knows you're depressed because of the things that have come your way. So you might as well just be honest before him. You can be real before God. And can I add something to that? You can be yourself in this church. You don't have to hide it here, because we're here to encourage you. We're here to listen. We're here to give you a smile. We're here to give you a hug. We're here to give you a listening ear. We're here to help you. That's what church family is all about. That's what community within the body of Christ is all about. And that leads us to the next step. The next step is remember what is important. Seek God with everything you've got and be honest when you can't. And then remember what is important. Look at verse 4. David says, "These things I remember as I pour out my soul." Look at verse 6. "My soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I remember you." Now, when this phrase, "I remember you," is read in the Hebrew, it conveys a strong expression of determination. I will remember. So when you are in the blues and you feel like there's no way out, remember what is true. When I'm feeling down, by the way, I'm just like you. There's times when I'm up. There's times when I'm down. You go, "Whoa, wait a minute, Pastor. Man, whenever we're together, we look at you, whenever we're around you, man, you got it all together." Yeah, that's because I've already dealt with it before I get to where you are. Because I can't help you if I'm still down, right? I can't encourage you if I'm still down. I can't be that listening ear. I can't give you that smile. I can't give you that hug. I can't share my life and my love with you if I'm down. So I have to deal with it before I'm ever in your presence. But you know what? You can bring it to me. You can be real in this place. When I'm feeling down, it is so easy for me to lose sight of what is true. Doubts creep in, and despair can pierce my soul. And even though I know what is true, I have to force myself to remember it, or I will have a difficult time overcoming the blues. So what was it that David remembered? He tells us. He says the first thing he remembered was fellowship with others. Keep reading. It says, "How I would go with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of praise." David is alone and he's afraid, and he thinks back to the times of sweet fellowship he had with other believers. And as he's thinking about this, a smile appears on his face and he can't wait to reconnect with God's people again. One of the best things you can do when you are down is to be with God's people. Let me say that again. One of the best things that you can do when you are down is to be with God's people. Now, I know this is difficult, because when we feel discouraged or depressed, we think that it's best to be alone. But that's not God's desire for us. That's not what we need to do. God has put within each of us the need and the desire for community. We are not meant to function alone. We need each other. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 says, "Not neglecting to meet together, as in the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." When we are meeting together, we meet together, yes, to worship, yes, to fellowship, but we meet together to encourage one another. When I'm down, you can lift me up. When you're down, we can lift you up. That
that's the way God designed us to be able to be. We're not to go and hide. We're not to go and stay in bed and pull the covers up over our head and say, woe is me. We're to be together with the people of God. We're to be together with our church family. Do you remember? It was many years ago when there were 9 miners in Pennsylvania who were trapped underground for 3 days. You know what they did? They tied themselves together so that they would live or die as a group. They huddled closely so they could stay warm, and they also worked at keeping each other encouraged. And when their ordeal was over, one of the miners said this: everybody had strong moments. At any certain time, maybe one guy got down, and then the rest pulled together, and that guy would get back, and maybe somebody else would feel a little weaker. But it was a team effort. That's the only way it could have been done. One of the ways to live this spiritual life is to live it in community with others. God has made us a team, and there's no I in team. Now, I want you to turn to the person next to you and picture yourself tied to him or her. And when you are down, ask for help. When you are up, encourage those who are feeling down. Here's another thing David remembered: corporate worship. Corporate worship. Yes, it's important for us to worship individually, but it's also of utmost importance to worship corporately. David forces himself to remember the sweetness of corporate worship. He says, how I would go with the throng, throng, not one, throng, and lead them in procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude keeping festival. You know what? That's what we do every Sunday morning here at Lake Hazel Bible Church. It's a festival of praise. Have you ever figured that out? You need to start if you haven't already. Okay, it's a festival of praise. We have a worship team that God has called to be able to what? Lead us to him in worship by bringing our praise, by lifting our voices and our hearts in song. Can I clue you in? They're just as human as the rest of us. Some days they're down. Some days they go through discouragement. Some days they feel depressed. But you know what? They understand how important it is for corporate worship. And they come and they join together. And they fulfill what it is that God has gifted them to be able to do for us. Even though it's important for us to be with each other, we must not forget that we are together to praise and give thanksgiving to God. We need to be together so that we can worship together. Here's another thing he remembered. He remembered his service for God. David locks into the fact that he serves a living God. In verse 2, he says, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? He's saying, when is the next opportunity that I have to be able to serve the living God? And the other thing he remembers is God's love for him. Look at verse 8. By day, the Lord commands his steadfast love. And at night, his song is with me. He remembers God's love for David. No matter how far down you go, no matter how far down you go, you are never below the love of God. No matter how discouraged you get, no matter how depressed you are never below the love of God. His love is what? Steadfast. We don't use that word steadfast much anymore, but it is a great word. It means it never ends. It never lessens in its strength. It's never weak at any moment. It is a steadfast love. No matter how far down you go, you're never below the love of God. Amen? Whew, yes. We got to remember that. David's expectation was that at a time of goodness would return and the steadfast love of God would continue to be displayed to him. He didn't doubt God's love. Well, he doubted himself. He doubted the circumstances, but he didn't doubt God's love. He knew it was what? Steadfast. And God wants you to know that too. Here's the fourth and final step. Hope in God. Hope in God. In this psalm, David talks to God and he talks to himself. Now, it's not always bad to talk to yourself. It's when you start answering yourself that people look at you funny. And when we're down, we need to force ourselves to remember that our hope is in God. Notice David didn't say, I put my hope in the world. I put my hope in the government. I put my hope in my circumstances. I put my hope in people. He said, my hope is in God. Look at verse 11. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God. For I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. Now this phrase, cast down, comes from the picture of a cast sheep. As we learned last week from the sermon in Psalm 23, a cast sheep was a sheep that was flat on its back with its legs flailing in the air and couldn't get help up without help from the shepherd. What does David say? Why, my soul, are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God. It's a decision of the will to put our hope in God. Even when we feel we can barely speak the words, we must let our trust in God conquer our fears and let hope win out over discouragement and depression. Now, hope is not a vain feeling that maybe something better will come. It is an expectation of trust in God that he will fulfill his purpose and plan in me and through me. What did David say? Hope in God. He knew his hope was where? In God. When you are discouraged, when you are in depression, come to the realization quickly, your hope is in God. Now I understand, this takes a lot of courage to make this step. Are you willing? Are you willing? Are you willing to wait for God to do his work in you and through you when you don't know how you can even make it through the day? Can you choose to praise him in spite of the burdens you may be carrying? David says, I'm going to praise God no matter what. I'm going to trust him. And David trusts God enough to leave the blues behind, to move forward to God. Why? Because he knows his hope is where? In God. So this morning, as we prepare to celebrate communion, let us focus for a few moments on the role that memory plays in our faith. Sometimes the recovery of our hope does not depend on making sense of the present moment, but rather in our memories of who God is and what he has done for us. Ultimately, we need to come to the place of clinging to the cross, where Jesus died for you and me. That's what communion is all about. It's reminding us of what Jesus did for us on that cross. His body was broken. His blood was shed so that he could be the Lamb of God who takes away your sin and my sin and the sin of the world. Maybe you're down today and the cross is all that you have to go on because right now, nothing else makes sense. We don't come to the table because we have it all together. We come because we admit that sometimes we don't know where God is, but this we do know. There was a time when there was no doubt where God was and what he was doing. And it was at that time when he allowed Jesus, his son, to die on the cross for our Savior. No matter how down you are, you're never below the steadfast love of God. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 said, but God demonstrated his love to us in that while we were still sinners, Jesus died for us. We always can remember that. And this morning, as we celebrate communion, I want you, I want me to be able to remember that as well. I'm going to ask the men to come and join me at the table. Let's remember Jesus.
His body the bread, his blood the wine, broken and poured out, all for love. The whole earth trembled and the veil was torn. Love so amazing. Love so amazing, yeah. Jesus Messiah, name above all names, a blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sinners, the ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah, Lord of all our hope is in you. Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rest. rescue poor sinners, the ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah. Jesus Messiah, Lord of all, the Lord of all, the Lord of all.
Let's remember Jesus.
Friends, would you stand for our last song today?
God is good, amen. Amen.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending, ring from above. Echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. My Savior.